Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and as always, we're going to be sharing some thoughtful and provocative subject matter with you and insights to help empower your life. But before we go to our guest today, I do want to give out our toll-free number, which is 877-876-5227. Now, that telephone number is available to you later on in the programming. So just know that you can write that down and keep a pad of paper and pen handy because I've got a lot of stuff to share with you this hour. My guest today is Judy Thomases, and her book is called Wisdom's Game. And Judy, where are you located today?
Today and most of the time, I'm in Garnerville, New York, which is a small town about 40 or 50 minutes from Manhattan.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I just know New York has got so much to offer. It's one of my favorite places, and there's always something going on. It's a city that never, ever, or a state, I should say, that never, ever sleeps. It's just incredible. Judy, you have put together a book called Wisdom's Game, How to Change Life's Pain into Joy. But you have a real interesting background, in that you have been involved in the psychic area, the area of mind, for so much of your life. And I would love for you to share with my listeners your experiences on how you discovered your talents and abilities, because I find everybody has their own particular story.
Yes.
What began this journey of experience in the development of mind skills for you?
Well, it was a very personal beginning. I was going through personal issues in life. I was a young mother, and the marriage I was in wasn't working, and so I sought some answers, and a friend suggested that I have a consultation with an astrologer, which I did, and I found it's fascinating that it revealed so much. I later went back again and then befriended that person and went with her to people's homes where this was being taught. This was over 30 years ago, so it was sort of less acceptable, you could say.
Oh,
less mainstream.
Very much so. Mm-hmm.
And yet I found the people that I was meeting, they were very spiritual, they were very intelligent, they were very learned, and through them I discovered other abilities. The difference, what my background is first of all astrological, which is kind of mathematical,
mm-hmm.
and a kind of soft science, you could call it. It's interpretive, but it's based on mathematical harmonies, and then concurrent, I discovered psychic abilities, which are quite different. And this is where you are aware of things in a different way. They come into your consciousness, and my particular interest was in tarot cards, so I studied that as well. And in both of these fields, I found that I had natural abilities, and in a very natural, easy way, people started to find that in me and ask me to actually help them and offer them that service. So that's the beginning of my career path, let's say.
Now, I'd like to ask you something, because so many of our listeners are very much interested in what you'd call the paranormal, the psychic area, which you and I both know is as natural as breathing. It's like any talent. You can cultivate it. You can discipline it. You can utilize it in so many different ways. For you, what was the real turning point where you felt that you could, as an individual, really benefit from disciplining yourself to be able to use this as a tool? How did you discover that there were tools to use, and what tools did you use?
A broad question. One thing that this work offers you is a way into your higher self, a way into an aspect of yourself that starts to give you guidance. In the tarot, it would be called the Hierophant, and that is the card of intuition. And if you break down that word, inner tuition, inner teacher, in other words, you begin to realize that there is a guidance system within you, or we could call it small, still voice within, that's trying to keep you on your path, that's trying to offer you through symbolism, maybe in dreams, or gut feelings, hunches, in small ways like that, trying to signal to you to take this action or not take another action. Then I guess you could say that as you start to trust this sense, you follow teachings, age-old teachings in some cases, meditation, inward work, to give that more and more credence and strengthen it. And then you begin to put your trust very much in your higher wisdom, and it comes to the forefront. And I have, you know, a couple of little stories that I often tell my students. I tell them to begin to practice this, even in little ways. If you're in my case, I might be grocery shopping, and that small still voice within is telling me to purchase something that wasn't on my shopping list. Well, I have a choice at that point of discounting that little, tiny little hint I'm getting, or stop my thought process, that endless thought process, and pay attention to it and follow up and act upon it. I think that as you practice little ways, you develop larger trust in it, and the guidance is mostly on target. I think that one of the difficulties that people have is in separating their imagination from their intuition, and that's a tough one to learn how to do. But once you figure that one out, your intuition will never suggest to you to do anything harmful to yourself or to another.
I find that people that are especially talented in the area of mind skills usually have an extremely good imagination. And your point that seeing the difference, understanding how to read the language of the mind and how it's conveying its information to you or processing it through you is just absolutely one of the biggest challenges that a person will go through, because you're going to constantly be questioning. So I think your point is a very, very good one. So here you are. This is something that you have dedicated your life to. You have, as you've mentioned, a background in all levels of the mind skill development. You have gotten a PhD.
No, I don't have a PhD.
Not a PhD, but
no.
You have, you've gone
Phi Beta Kappa.
Phi Beta Kappa,
yes.
Of Douglas College. You have been writing for years. You have been involved with metaphysics on so many levels, astrology, for well over 30 years, as you've mentioned. I'd like to ask you a question relative to this. Now, your book, Wisdom's Game, you share a lot of your thoughts here. When you put this book together, why did you want to put this book together? This book is not a real thick book. It's one that someone can sit down and read at their leisure, and it's easy to understand. Why was it important for you to put Wisdom's Game in front of people?
Well, this is a whole different story, Donna. This is a story of yet another ability that came forth about a decade ago, unsolicited, let's say. And this is an ability separate from psychic ability or astrological knowledge. This is called channeling. So that I was sitting one day and journaling, and I heard a voice without sound. I heard telepathically a voice communicating words to me crystal clear, and I didn't know where that came from. I didn't know what that was about, but I took down dictation, so to speak, and that voice was saying, game. Life's a game. You're stuck in jail. Find your go-free escape card. We will help. And that was the beginning of what ultimately manifested as a book. I was, say, I had reached a stage where I could be a receiver. And the receiving was of teachings, higher wisdom teachings. It was a totally separate capacity, let's say. And from that point, more communications were given. I captured them all. Some were for clients. Some were put together into like a monthly column in several publications, which are still ongoing, Inner Realm Magazine, Del Horoscope Magazine. And these are world messages. These are messages to help people see life from a broader perspective, understand what they're doing here, figure out meaning for their lives, and cope with life's challenges. And ultimately, a little book was put together. Can I give a website for that book if anybody would like to?
Sure, we can do that in just a moment. But okay. I want to let those of you who have just tuned into the show know that my guest today is Judy Thomasis. Her book is Wisdom's Game. And there are so many of you today that are interested in developing your own psychic ability. Often when we're in the process of discovering certain talents that we might have, we become fearful because there is so much misinformation out there. And Judy is one of those people who has taken the time to do a lot of exploring, a lot of reading, a lot of studying. So this book, Wisdom's Game, gives a little bit of information about that. And we have a few books to give away this morning. So if you'd like to receive a free book, call in to the number 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or you can call my office and leave a message at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. And we'll be sure to get your information so that you can get a free copy of the book. We have three this morning that we're going to be giving away. Yes, we'll give out your website in just a moment, Judy. Here you have the information. You use the term channeling, and
mm-hmm.
you use the term hearing telepathically. I have known so many people that have gone through this, people from all kinds of backgrounds. I've known writers who say they feel that there is someone else that's actually dictated the story to them, not unlike what your experience was. And in your book, Robert Butts, who is the husband of the late author Jane Roberts, who wrote the Seth books, has a very nice commentary that he gives to this. And his wife passed away, and these books are still read by people all over the world, the Seth books are. How did you get to know Robert?
Well, there was a magazine, it's defunct now, called Writings on the Wall. And the editor put together fresh, new received information or channelings, as well as some already published ones. So he used mine and others and Seth's material, and Robert Butts and I began a correspondence through that connection. We began a friendship and an acquaintanceship through that.
Well, you have in this book, and again, for those of you listening, it's not a large book. It is a book, though, that can give you some thoughts. It's something that could be a companion that you could put by the side of your bed. Maybe you'd want to read a little bit just before you go to bed, or you've got something that is bothering you, or you're wondering about things, because life is a journey of experiences. And I like what you had in the way of a quote by Will Rogers. Good judgment comes from experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. I love
That's
Will Rogers.
That's the essence
anyway.
Of wisdom, isn't it?
It really is. I was just talking this morning with a friend of mine who has a daughter that's going to be going off to college. And one of the bits of wisdom that he has really been able to apply is that his daughter is going through this initiation, going to college. She's going to be over 3,000 miles away from home. She's going to be entering into a brand new world. And he said she's going to need to handle things on her own. And as she's getting closer to the time that this is happening, she's beginning to become a little overwhelmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is her initiation. This is her unknown. This is her opportunity to step in to her adulthood
mm-hmm.
with full measure. And he recognized that. And he said, this is true. And I said, look at how many things we goofed up when we were younger, and she has the right and privilege to do the same herself. And he said, that's absolutely correct.
Yes, there's a passage in the book, a couple of them. Suffering is the abrasion that produces wisdom. And then there's another passage which says, rejoice in your misery, it's your ticket to paradise. The essential core message of the book is that we, as spiritual energy essence, chose to be humans and to be limited by human form. And to do so automatically produces situations where you're going to find yourself challenged or at times unhappy, sometimes really in despair. And it's part of a bargain or a game that we're playing with life, with the world. So there is no one into whose life some rain doesn't fall at times. And it's at those times that there are specific understanding, specific tools that we can use. We can realize that we are participating in this game and, in fact, have designed it on a prior-to-birth level. And then when we step into it, we have tools available to us that are being made known more and more now to the world, since the world is finding itself, many, many people are finding themselves in more difficult times, more challenging times. I think there's always challenging times, but there's a yearning for ways to reach more peace, to reach more satisfaction, to come out of misery, to have power, to have personal empowerment, tools that will allow us to do this. There's a lot of books written on methods of using your awareness, using psychology, using life for personal empowerment. But this particular book is giving us a spiritual perspective on this whole game, so to speak. So a college kid who is nervous or anxious or facing the first real challenge can benefit from this. And so can somebody much later in life who is facing some real issues that could fall under categories of health or of relationships, of career. All of these are steps in the lifelong journey, stages where you'll encounter some resistance, some pain, some point at which you have available to you the option of learning lots and lots of wisdom, and to look at it that way and to almost see it from a more humorous point of view puts it into a new perspective. The greatest tool that we have, besides applying a little humor to our human tragedy, let's say, our human drama, is to master our thoughts and our emotions. And this is intensely hard work because life is and feels very real. But from a spiritual perspective, it's a game that we're playing with the world. In fact, we are we would be bored to death if we didn't choose these particular challenges.
I feel in so many instances that many individuals, and I put myself in the category along with everybody else, that there are those opportune moments that when we can't figure out what we're going to do, we will have something that pops up that creates a challenge so that we can have something to do. And many times we're short-sighted and do not realize that maybe what we are opting for is not going to bring us what we really want, but we need to go through those lessons, if you want to call them that, which I do, that are going to enable us as individuals to grow into more of what we are. You make a statement in your book, you're small not because that's what defines you, but because you needed to be so that you could enjoy life. You're bound not because you're powerless, but because you need to accept that before you could enjoy life. And that is something that is throughout your book, to be able to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. Living in the moment, to enjoy life, to realize that nothing is ever permanent. There's the old saying, and this too shall pass. And I think that that is, you know, a grouping of words that has had an impact on me in so many ways, especially when there's a lot of stress, because you can deal with what's going on right now, but you may not want to have this situation go on forever, and it won't. It won't.
You have creative control of your world. That's what the Age of Aquarius is all about, to see the human as, say, a god in training, as a creator in training, to understand that as you think, so shall you be. What's going on in your mind is what stimulates and then creates your future, creates your now. So there's a direct correlation between your inner work, how you process your experiences, how quickly you can transform them into something more joyous, and then watch and see how the world then begins to change around you. Maybe not globally at first, but if enough people do this, certainly. But your own personal world will start to change. You'll get happier because you are constantly creating that with your mastery of emotion and thought. And that's a main message in the book, that there is a new type of human being that's in a formative stage right now. And it's a human who understands that each one is unique, and each one has come in to play the spiritual game. And your game plan can be defined if you can define three things for yourself. If you can define your, what I call, karmic predicament, the set of circumstances that are the most challenging to you in general. And then if you can define, what is your heart's desire? What is your passion that you came here to try to manifest? Everybody has a different passion, something that makes them feel alive and vital. And third, what's the task that you assigned yourself to learn or accomplish while you're here? If you can define those three things, your dilemma or predicament, your passion or heart's desire, and your task, or the end goal of your own heroic journey, then you have in front of you your game plan. And you can create the world around yourself that then fulfills that. But you needed the predicament. I just want to get everybody to understand that. You needed the dilemma, or it would just be too easy. There would be no point to life.
Well, we have, I think, a common thought where everyone is an extension of the greatness of the universe. And in that expression of opportunity, whatever life you are living, wherever you are on the planet or elsewhere, you have a chance to add to, you will, if you will, the universal bank of knowledge and information. And it is really quite exciting when you can look at your life as an opportunity to be a contributor in your own special way. You may not be written up in People magazine, but that's not the issue. The issue is that you have the opportunity to expand into the highest and best of what you're capable of doing. And it may come in a way that's totally unexpected.
And every life is valuable because every single life will teach a little bit of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
There is a quote from Itzhak Bentov. He was a scientist, and the quote is that the universe is a learning and thinking machine designed to know itself better and better.
Mm-hmm.
So every unique life, whether it's a big life, well-known, famous, or a small life, just personal, immediate issues, it's unique, and it's perfect in and of itself, and it will teach wisdom to the individual and therefore to the universe, as you said, add to the bank of knowledge of what spirit is capable of creating. We are none other than spirit, And spirit has to take form individually, uniquely, separated, in order to begin to know itself, in order to bounce one aspect of itself against another aspect of itself. In other words, person to person, or person to situation, or person to thing. And in this mirroring, this reflection, is the knowledge. Now, the knowledge that you get, you can call it knowledge, which is just sort of like accumulation of facts, or you could call it wisdom, which is understanding. And the highest level of wisdom is the open heart, or compassion, which begins when you start to see everybody as going through this same process. In other words, everybody as yourself. And then your heart opens to all. And then you have contributed greatly to the universe's accumulation of wisdom.
Judy Thomases has been my guest this morning. Her wonderful book is Wisdom's Game. It's a book that has a lot of provocative thought in it, in that it empowers you as a person to reach out for greater parts of yourself. Inside the book, you'll find out about the 5 rules of playing life's game effectively. We won't tell you those. We want you to read the book. So you can go to her website. And Judy, quickly, we've got about a minute here before we're going to close. What's your website?
The book's website is wisdomsgame.com. Pretty easy.
Okay.
And my main website is wisdompath.com for consultations.
Wisdom Path.
Yes, it's Wisdom's Game or Wisdom Path.
Great. And .com, and you'll have it. Now, I know that we're out of time. It's been a delight. Let me again give out the name of Judy's book. We have 3 copies available. You can call the studio, 877-876-5227. Leave your information with us. Or you can also call my office, 800-872-8852, and we'll be glad to get a free copy to you. Judy, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Donna, I want to thank you so much for having me, allowing me to reach your listeners, and many, many thanks and blessings.
Same to you, Judy. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a little bit, so don't you go away. More good things to come. Hi, this is Donna Sebo with an hour of mind power, and again, I want to remind you that we have 3 book giveaways for Wisdom's Game, Judy Thomases' wonderful book. And if you would like to get a free copy, you can call the station at 877-876-5227. We'll need your contact information so that we can give that to her so she can send you an autographed copy. Or you can call my office, 800-872-8852. Now remember, the telephone lines are open now, so if you'd like to chat with me and have a little bit of an intuitive reading, I'd be glad to do that for you. I'd be happy to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Before I went on air today, I received a call from a gentleman who has put together a film feature of the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, this was from last year, and he filmed me with some other people, and this event is just so much fun, and you've been hearing me talk about it every single day. Now, this event is happening in Gig Harbor, Washington. We have people come in from all over the country to attend it. It's the first 3 weekends during the month of August. The hours are from 9 until 6. And you can go to their website, WashingtonRenFair.com. That's Washington, RENFAIRE.com, where you will get all kinds of information. And if you wanted to buy tickets for yourself, for your family, for your friends, they have a special discounted rate that you're going to be able to receive if you buy your tickets online, print them out. When you go in to attend the event, you're not going to have to stand in that mile-long line that usually is right outside the front gate. When the doors are open, all you have to do is present your ticket, and you're going to be able to pop right in. This is a 16th century village environment that is absolutely awesome. You have the royal court. You have the merchants all over the grounds. You have wonderful food that is just so much like what you'd get in the times then. And believe it or not, it's really good food. And you are not going to have to eat out of a wooden bowl. You're going to have good, fresh food, and it's just wonderful. But you also have these areas that are down in a glen where there's jousting, where there's all kinds of activities. They have 8 stages of performances that are going on throughout the entire event. It's absolutely wonderful. And, of course, I'm going to be there. I will have a booth there myself. Look for the booth on Main Street that has the large red lions on the bright golden yellow background. That's my theme whenever I do the Renaissance Fair. Now, I wanted to let you know that this Saturday evening between 10 and 11 Pacific Standard Time, there is a program that has been put together by a group, Adventure TV, and it is featuring the Fantasy Fair, and they have been very gracious and included me in part of the film that they've got, and it's on public television in Seattle, Washington, on cable on Channel 77, and if you'd like to see it, because there's so many of you listening to the show that are throughout the country, you can see the Renaissance Fantasy Fair right on your computer. And what you do, you go to scantv.org. It's scantv.org. And it links and streams this entire program. If you'd like more information about this, you can also go to adventuretv.bravehost.com. adventuretv.bravehost.com. And you'll be able to get more information on this company that has put this together. So all of this is there. It is just absolutely wonderful, and I'm so pleased that they called me and let me know that they had done this, because it is fun. You'll be able to see it live right on your own computer screen. Isn't technology great? I mean, I'm not a technological person, but I just so appreciate the people that are, that have been able to put things together in such a way and manner that via the internet, I mean, that's how the gentlemen that have started BBS Radio, what they've been able to do. Look at what we're able to accomplish through the internet. Never in a million years did I ever dream that I was going to be able to do radio programs on the internet. That was the furthest thing from my mind. And here we are. We're heard all over the country. There are some stations that are carrying our programs as well. So we live in an incredible time. And speaking of an incredible time, if you would like to have an insight into yourself and to what's going on in your life, give me a call at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. When Judy was talking about trusting your intuition and how maybe you're in a grocery store and all of a sudden you're supposed to pick something up, I have a favorite spaghetti story of mine. And it happened, many years ago. My husband and I received a call from a young lady, a relative of his, and she and her husband were coming out to the West Coast. At that time, we were living in the Hayward, California area. And so we thought, oh, my goodness. And she called, like, at the beginning of the week. Let's say it was on Monday. And she called and said, well, we're going to be coming in, and we'd love to come to see you. Well, when they were arriving, it was going to be on the weekend. Her husband was attending some kind of a training program, and she did not want to be bothered staying there. It was in San Francisco, and she said, you're not that far away. I'll just come over to visit you. I don't want to be bothered with this. So we were excited. Well, that particular day that they were supposed to be coming over, we had been given the information that they were going to be coming over later in the day. Well, that's fine. I put it down on my calendar. You know, you try to be organized to make sure that you're going to be in the right place at the right time. Well, as it turned out, I went grocery shopping. And when I'm grocery shopping, I pick up pasta. I pick up the fixings for homemade spaghetti sauce. I pick up a box of cheesecake mix and all kinds of things. And I'm shopping, and I'm standing in line, and I'm looking at what I have put in my cart. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I don't want to eat the pasta. I don't eat pasta. Gracious, what in the world am I getting this for? But there was just this feeling, and I just said, I'm getting it. I bought the meat, everything. So when I got home, everything was put away. The meat for the sauce was put in the freezer. Everything was set up. As it turned out, I had this feeling that on Saturday, when I had a class Saturday morning, this was the day they were going to be coming over later in the day. My husband was a manager for a particular trucking firm, and he was off very early in the day. So we are very, very busy. Well, I'm sitting in this class, and this feeling comes over me. Go home. You've got to go home. And I thought, I can't finish this class. I've got to go home. So I wasn't too far away, and I get home, and lo and behold, I find my husband's home. And I said, gee whiz, you had all of these things of business that you had to take care of. He said, yeah, it came in and it was out, and he was relaxing and resting. He had a break. Things got done very, very quickly. And I thought, that's interesting. So I'm talking with him. The doorbell rings. Guess who's at the front door? The relatives that we're not supposed to be there for another 6 or 7 hours. And I went, oops, guess what we've got to take care of. So naturally, we were enjoying the visit with him. But at a certain point, I thought, aha, I got to start fixing dinner. So I ended up taking stuff out of the freezer, got the pasta out, fixed the cheesecake, had all of this ready to go, and things were just cooking along. So we ended up having, a few hours later, a very, very nice dinner. And as we're having the dinner, we're engaging in all this conversation, and it was, like I said, a Saturday, and the wife turned to the husband. She said, isn't this something? We're having our favorite meal, and we didn't have a clue. So we just sort of chuckled, and she said, yes, my husband's favorite dinner on a Saturday night is spaghetti with marinara sauce, and that's what I had fixed. And I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? So then I end up serving dessert. You know, we had a nice conversation, and I served dessert, and the dessert was cheesecake. And so what evolved was, after we finished dessert, as the wife looked at her husband, she said, not only did she fix our favorite dinner, but she also fixed our favorite dessert. How did she do that? So you have things that occur sometime. And that's my spaghetti and cheesecake story. But it's really fascinating how you will be in an awareness, a level of awareness, and everything is just telling you to do certain things, and it has absolutely no logic to it at all. I mean, I didn't know this young lady and her husband. I hadn't had any opportunity to really interact with him, nor had my husband for a number of years. So it was really a fun evening. And, of course, that's been one of my favorite stories to share with students or people that I interact with, because often you might find you change your direction or you're doing something different. You don't know why. You just know you need to do it. And then you become aware of why you needed to do it. And maybe you have had someone that's been on your mind a great deal, and you go, gee, I really need to call that person. Pick up the phone and call. 9 times out of 10, you're going to find that individual saying, wow, I was thinking of you. Or they'll say, gee, am I glad you called. I need help. Or something to that effect. It's absolutely amazing. And what goes on is, I think, a form of telepathy, where we're sending and receiving information all the time. And it's very much a part of us, naturally. It's part of our own package as human beings. It's built into your nervous system. So when you can be at ease with it and you can be comfortable with it, it is absolutely awesome. And I know we're going to be going to a break pretty soon, but I wanted to share this story with you. I'm going to begin it. And if I can't finish it before we go to break, I'll finish it afterwards. There was a woman by the name of Annette Perdue, and she's in Alabama. And she was telling the story about her mother. She had to find a nurse to help her mom. Her mom's name was Mary, and not just any nurse. Her mother had been an RN herself, and people just had loved her as a nurse, and she had worked as a nurse until she was almost 80 years of age. Isn't that incredible? And she practically ran the office that she worked in, the doctor she worked for. She loved being a nurse. It was her total and complete passion, and she had no problems dealing with people. However, in her 80s, she developed Parkinson's disease and was forced to retire. She could no longer do the job she loved so much, and she had to be taken care of. So her brother Pat, Annette's brother Pat, moved in with his mom, and they had some very good years together, but mom deteriorated so badly, they knew they had to put her into a nursing home. Now, there was an excellent staff that was working in the nursing home, and her mom just was not happy. She just wasn't happy being there. Now, I know we're going to have to go to break, so I'm going to finish Mary's story. Actually, it's Annette telling Mary's story when we come back. And if you'd like to chat with me, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. Quickly, before we go to break, my show time is changing to 3 to 4 in the afternoon as of August the 1st, so mark that down on your computer calendar so that you'll know where I am. I have not disappeared. We've just got a lot of changes at bbsradio.com, and going back to the time slot of 3 to 4 is one of them. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to remind you again about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the first 3 weekends in August. And one of the reasons I want to let you know about it is that not only is it a wonderful family event, it's 3 weekends of great family fun. But there's so much to enjoy. And if you want to wear a costume, come on out in a costume. You'll have a blast. And not only that, but when you come to the fair, if you don't have a costume, they have people you can go and rent a costume from. And what a selection! You can be a Robin Hood type if you want, or you can be an elegant lady of the royal court. Or maybe just a peasant woman, whatever you would like to do, or a peasant guy. But if you want to buy your own, you can, or you can come and rent one of the costumes and be in the theme, the 16th century theme, and it's just so much fun. Now, where is it? It's at the Mentor Creek Ranch in Gig Harbor, Washington. The cost and how you can get your tickets and all of that, go to WashingtonRenFair.com. That's their website, WashingtonRenFair, FAIRE.com. Or you can call them at 800-359-5948. And you'll be able to find out all of the wonderful details. There's photos up there. There's all kinds of things. And don't forget, this Saturday, there is going to be, for those of you in the state of Washington who are listening, on cable channel 77 out of Seattle, there is going to be a film on the Washington State Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and it is going to be running from 10 until 11 Saturday night. And if you want to watch it, you can go to scantv.org. And there are links and streams where you can pick it up and watch it right there on your computer. If you'd like information about the persons that have been involved in this, would like more details, adventuretv.bravehost.com are the people that have put this film together. And I've got apparently a feature in there where they're filming me and showing me doing my work with people for a few minutes. And so you'll be able to have a picture of me and see me in action if that's what you would like to do. Now, again, I want to go back to the story of Mary, who is in her 80s. She's developed Parkinson's. She's in a facility. And her son, who had been taking care of her, well, they hated to see her there. However, what they did, because Mom was not happy being at the facility, they thought they would bring her back home. And so what they did, they made arrangements with the hospice people and took their mother back to her own home. And Annette and her brother got very, very concerned because they said, we need to have somebody that really is going to be a good nurse. And the best nurse in the world, they felt, deserved the very best nursing care in the last days of her life, and they really worked hard at trying to find someone. Well, they interviewed a lot of people, and there was a woman that came out, and she just had a lovely smile. And the very first question she asked them was, didn't your mother used to work for Dr. Zadanis? And they said, yes, she did. Well, she went in and she saw their mom. And she asked her, you know, the same thing. You're the nurse that worked for the doctor. And the mother said, yes, I worked with him until I was about 80 years of age. And she was very proud, even though she was so ill. She was very very proud of what she'd been able to do. And this young woman said to her, I recognized the name in your file when it was presented to me, and now that I'm here, there's no doubt. You see, I know you. When I was a little girl, you took care of me, and I always loved and admired you. In fact, you're one of the main reasons I became a nurse. They found that perfect nurse for their mom, and she was with her until she passed away. She had been the best, and they were able to find the best. Someone that had learned from her how special nursing really was. And that is how life brings things full circle many times. Not always, but many times. And that's why we need to remember, when we do what we do, and when we love what we do, we make an impression on people many times that we haven't a clue that we're making that impression on, and we just don't know. We're just doing what we do to the best of our ability. Who is it that inspired you in your life? Who did you know that whenever you think of them, you'll say, I want to be like that person? Who is that person that set the standards for integrity and principle in your own life. Who comes into your mind? Well, if you're like me, there are a number of people. And those people that meant so much to me, I found many times I wanted to mimic them, just like this young nurse with a woman that was an example for her, with Mary. And I think if we can look for those people who have those qualities of character and purpose that we want to emulate in our own lives, if they can be a mentor, maybe they're not someone that you're going to be able to know personally, but if they, by example, have given you something that you can look up to and work towards, isn't that a wonderful objective? That's why I think stories are so important. And when we find out about people who have weathered challenges, who have gone through changes, and we can look at them, and we can see and understand how their life has contributed so much in its own way and has enriched our lives, then think of how much we're going to be able to offer to others. There are so many wonderful people who have crossed my path in life, who have taught me lessons, and it's just a delight for me to be able to share them. Because I feel that maybe in sharing their stories, then the lesson is passed along. The gift of understanding and learning and knowing passes on. And isn't that what a good teacher does? Think about it. You may, in hearing this show, say, yes, Donna, but it comes so easily to you, but I've walked a long journey to make it comfortable, and I really like what I do. But you're a teacher, too, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, how you live your life, the quality of who you are as a person, your standard speaks so loudly that people will know who you are, and that really makes a difference. So if you're going to choose a mentor, choose someone that really represents the highest and best to you. And look at it and realize that you can achieve whatever you really set out to achieve. It's an amazing thing. And it's a good thing to teach to children. That's why we want to bring into children's lives examples of people. And we want to show them that there are things that they can reach, they can aspire for. But there is not one of us at this moment that does not stand on the shoulders of someone that's gone before us. I think of the mentor who started me in my work so many years ago, and I credit her with many lessons that she taught me that I even share today with other people. I share with many things that come through on these airwaves, and that's important. So we pass it along. And who knows, you may be able, I hope, to be able to do it even better than I've ever done, or many other people have done. Because that's what a good teacher wants. A good teacher always wants its students to go beyond what they've experienced. They want you to take what they have and make it grow into something magnificent and wonderful in your own way, in your own expression. That's very important. Well, do you know, I'm sure you do, those of you that are really into technology, you can add weather monitoring to your cell phones and new features. I mean, that is so important. Tel Aviv University School of Engineering used the signal strength from cell phone base stations to monitor the intensity of rainfall in exact locations. In such a wide network of real-time rain gauges could lead to improved weather forecasts. Now, Hajit Masir Yaron, he has been very involved in his study about this. He said, out of better measurements, you always get better models. And that's one of the wonderful things about the technology that we have evolved into. We can really see a lot of things as they are happening right in a moment. Now, cell phone providers apparently are working hard to hide the fact that weather, especially rain, weakens cell phone reception. Did you know that? I didn't until I read it. They closely track the signal strength and adjust it so that end users never notice when a downpour plays havoc with the bars on the phone. Now, Messer Yaron and her colleagues took the information and turned it around to calculate rainfall around the cities of Tel Aviv and Haifa, and the results closely matched those from rain gauges on the ground, but provided much wider coverage, and they beat out expensive radar equipment in accuracy by as much as 27%. And the idea of using microwaves or electromagnetic radiation to predict weather conditions isn't new, but it's the first time someone has used free data to do it, and it doesn't cost us cell phone providers or anything because they make these measurements anyway. Their lab is now working on measuring hail, snow, and fog. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. I just love it. And I'm so glad there are people out there curious and wanting to know more. It's just really exciting. This is Donna Siebel. I want to tell you that we're going to be talking tomorrow with America's drumchiatrist. Yes, he's 87 years young, Sam Ulano. He says, keep swinging. And that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow when we talk with Sam. He's a wonderful man. We'll be talking to him from New York City. So remember, as you're going through this day of yours, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have so much to offer, and I'm so delighted we have this opportunity to share time together. You take care now. Enjoy your day. I'll be with you tomorrow. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. Donna Siebel here. Have a fabulous one. The sun's shining. Enjoy its golden rays. Bye for now.